is Sabrina Petrofessa.
And I'm Lily Rugo.
And this is Earth's Mightiest Fangirls.
We're a little back to normal now after the emotional brain dump that was the Infinity War bonus episode. We're back on track now.
Oh my gosh, I'm still reeling from Endgame.
Oh, that was an Endgame. I keep thinking they're both one movie.
I keep
anyways.
Saying the same thing. Every time I say I think about Endgame, I want to call it Infinity War because it's just still Infinity War. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Also, it was billed as Infinity War Part 2 for so long that, of course, mm-hmm. I want to call it Infinity War because that's what it was billed as. Anyway, that has nothing to do with what we're talking about this episode.
Yeah, nothing. What are we talking about
this
episode?
Well, actually, it does a little bit.
Yeah. It's funny. We'll get into it. But
yes.
What's today's content?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6.
Five.
Five? Sorry. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 5. Because currently it's Season 6.
Yeah. This is how the agents were able to stay in the MCU and entirely skip everything Infinity War brought down onto
Except
the MCU.
Except it didn't. I have... Listen, like we've said many, many times, we could absolutely do like a 2-hour episode about how frustrating it is that the television shows have nothing to do with the movies when they try to say that they are.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
There's no cohesion there because the movies refuse to acknowledge what's happening in the television shows, and the television shows try their hardest to be cohesive with the movies, but it's near impossible when the movies don't help them.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, the Defenders do the best job of it because they can stay the most removed. Agents tried so hard to be, like, to be with the same timeline, and they just got completely left behind. Anyways.
Yeah. So basically, end of last season. Wow, honestly, you would think that at this point, this season 5 feels like it should be season 6. Or like it should be like season like mm-hmm. 10. Like it feels like that's how long Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been happening. Because of the sheer amount of stuff that happens. But in the last season,
so much.
We ended on a cliffhanger. They got like kidnapped. Our crew got kidnapped. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden... Coulson is in space.
Yep.
So the first like half of this season is kind of figuring out why they're in space.
Yeah.
And also why there is no longer a planet Earth.
Yep. Yeah, because they basically wake up in this like deserted space wasteland, and then dun dun dun, it's Earth.
Well, they end up on a. What the hell is that? What's the spaceship thing that they're on called? I want to call it the Ark, but that's from the 100.
I thought it was they woke up on a different level of the lighthouse.
Okay, so they were the big thing that they show up on is like the lighthouse, and they're on a level of the lighthouse that got abandoned because of these alien things that mm-hmm. attacked it.
Yeah. Anyways, real quick, we know who it stars. It stars everybody. It aired on
especially
ABC.
Especially our fave Ming-Na Wen.
Ming-Na Wen. And it aired on ABC from December 1st, 2017 to May 18th, 2018. A lot of people wrote it, so I'm not going to read them all. And yeah, so far it's just kind of the same old agents of like when you think about it, it's like that was kind of nuts. How did all of that happen? And then you watch, you're like, no, this held up. This is a through storyline.
Yeah. I'm always shocked by Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, I think that the through line of most of our Agents episodes has been like, I don't know why people hate this season.
Right? This one was one of my favorite seasons.
Yeah, it was really, a really good season.
It really went there and then brought it all back. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, so I remember when this was airing, we would, like, I feel like mostly our conversations just happened over Twitter, and by conversations, I mean that I would, like, rant about it, and then you would be, like, liking it, or just, like, make a comment. But every once in a while, we would sit down, and we would talk about it, and I'd just be like, why? Like, what is happening? Like, why are they in space? Is this just their way of avoiding what happens in Infinity War to, like, the mm-hmm. excuse to have them not be there for the fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because, quite frankly, I have to be honest. If the agents knew about Thanos, and at a certain point, everyone had to know about Thanos, mm-hmm. they would be in the fight.
And honestly, the agents would have been really helpful in the fight. We see the Inhumans that they have.
Can you imagine Quake in the fight?
Are good. Quake, she would have done some damage. She would have helped. It would have... the agents would have been good in the fight.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Both of us haven't actually watched this season since it's aired, so we're just kind of going off of what our emotions were from, like, when we were watching it. I'm assuming is what we're doing. So,
yep.
I feel like just quick rundown, we're going to just, like, minute, go through it, like, this mm-hmm. is what the season was, and then we're just going to kind of go off, like, let's just go off, because this mm-hmm. is the most recent season, and I feel like, whatever. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. currently the most recent season, because there's a season airing, but...
Yeah.
So basically, they end up in space, they find out that the Earth has been, like, completely destroyed, like, there is no planet Earth, except, like, a curved bit of planet Earth.
Right.
And they don't know what happened, except at some point they kind of realize, oh, Daisy did it.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least they think Daisy did it, because, like, the
Everyone
last person...
Everyone says it was Quake, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, the last time they saw Quake, she was angry and running away, and then all of a sudden the, like, Earth just, like, broke apart. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a huge earthquake, and then the Earth kind of just got... Mm-hmm. and destroyed. And so it's like, okay, so I guess it was Quake. And so for the first half of the season, they're on the lighthouse. Oh, by the way, the lighthouse is run by the Kree.
The blue people.
The blue aliens. And there's, like, mm-hmm. one very specific Kree who is, like, obnoxious. And they're basically treating the humans like slaves. And then, mm-hmm. especially on top of treating the humans like slaves, when they find out about Inhumans, they treat them like extra special slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Because they yeah. get they are actually sold to other yeah. aliens who want them.
Yeah.
So, a lot goes down there. Oh my gosh. And then, like, I'm really trying to remember. Also, Fitz wasn't there with them. He got left on Earth.
Do you remember why?
Because he wasn't in the vision. Because remember Robin?
Yeah, the little kid who can see the future.
And then there were those, like, Watcher people. Like, that race of people. There, it's, like, a race of people who just watch what happens. Like, they're not allowed to interfere.
Oh. Right.
But, like, they do facilitate things, I guess, that are supposed to happen.
Oh, he's the Jarvis-type butler person, isn't he?
He was, like, the really monotone guy.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, he or they or whatever.
Yeah.
He's following, like, the instructions of Robin, the little girl who can see into the future.
Right.
That we met, like, 2 seasons ago.
Right, because it's his job. He was left behind to get them back.
He was left behind to get to them to get them back, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, by the way, while they're in space, they're in the future.
Yeah, there was a whole thing. It's...
They're like it's 20 the, years it's the portal in the rock again. Or something, like 30 yeah. years.
The portal rock is what screws up space called? And time. I don't remember. I just call it the Hydra
monolith.
Rock. Yeah.
That's the monolith. It's like the huge one, like the one mm-hmm. that took Gemma
mm-hmm.
somewhere else. But I think this is a different one, because didn't they destroy that one?
Yeah, they destroyed the one that took Gemma. So then
is a different monolith.
Yeah, which is why it can go through time. The other one just went through space.
This one goes through time and space, I guess, because that's mm-hmm. how they end up on the thing. But whatever. Yeah. So that's, like, the first half of the season?
Yeah, the first half is just getting their bearings, which, to be fair, that's pretty bad. So it makes sense that the first half of the season gets their bearings. And yeah. I'm pretty sure the mid-season finale was something like, guys, we're on Earth. Dun, dun.
Probably. They end up back on Earth, but they're fugitives because they were gonna get arrested at the end because the LMD Daisy shot the president. Or shot
Talbot. Oh my god,
Talbot?
I totally forgot about the whole Earth timeline. I'm just stuck on them being in the future.
Yeah, no, they were in the future and then they got back, and the reason they got back is because they met a... I don't know, they met like... I don't know, there was so much. There was so
Fitz
much.
Got them back.
Fitz got them back.
He met them in the future and he got them back.
And they also discovered that they have a grandson whose name is Zeke, or is it Deke?
Deke.
It's Deke. I don't like Deke.
Yeah, no one did. It was really funny because everyone's just like, oh, Deke, this guy, he's just around, blah, blah, blah. And then they find out he's Fitz and Gemma's grandson, and even Fitz and Gemma are just like, him?
Well, I think after a while, Gemma's like, aw, and Fitz is still like, are you kidding me?
Like, we had that? Our daughter has that? And it was funny, because everyone's like, Deke?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They also find out a lot of, like messed up stuff. Like, the way that they're still creating in humans is that they've kept Yo-Yo alive this entire time, and she has no arms now.
Mm-hmm.
So they've been, like, sucking her bone dry.
Mm-hmm.
To create new Inhumans, and then she dies in the future. The future version of her dies in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go back, and then... Yeah, Mac had to watch her die in his arms as well, right? Mm-hmm. That happened?
Something like that. Yeah, something like that. Honestly, it was so confusing, but again, it still held up. Their time travel and their timeline stuff made more sense than Endgame.
Quake had an inhibitor, right? Daisy had that inhibitor on her that she couldn't use her powers because the blue guy, the Kree in charge, had mm-hmm. to... Like, sorry, I'm just, like, trying to remember everything that happened. And this is still the first half of the season.
It's still the first half of the season. Yeah, so the blue guy who... His name is Cassius, and the basic thing is he's, like, he's a royal Kree, but he was also, like, a disgraced son, Zuko-style. So he's just put in charge
worse
of this
than
terrible...
Zuko-style.
Yeah, he's just put in charge of this terrible Kree outpost, a.k.a. decimated Earth. And... Okay, kind of weird, but I really liked his actor. Like, everything about Cassius was super, like, slimy and fake and that, like, really polished, oily type thing. And I was like, wow, he's really good.
Yeah.
I'm 100% buying Cassius.
Well, here's the thing that I hate is that, like, conflating liking a character with liking what they're doing.
Right, right? Like, Cassius was a really good villain, and his actor did a really good job because he was such a bad person.
Yeah, I really liked Cassius as a villain. Do I mm-hmm. like Cassius? No. If I saw that person, I would punch him in the face and then probably stab him because he's a POS. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. I do not like him. But I like him.
Right.
In the story.
Yeah. Of the villains the agents have had to deal with, he was really good.
He's also the most realistic.
Mm-hmm.
In the sense that, like, I know that guy, you know?
Yeah. The one who is, like, everything bad in life happened to me. I am the ultimate victim. This is just me acting out to get... Because this is what everyone else deserves.
Yeah. Like, nothing's his fault.
Yeah,
which is annoying because everything is his fault. Like, the reason everyone is so ashamed of him is because he's not a good fighter. And, like, yeah, the system of the Kree has made it so, like, just because you're not a good fighter makes you kind of, like, inferior, but it doesn't give you the right to be a dick.
Right? Also, can we discuss how this season confused me so much when we got to Captain Marvel? Because by this point, I don't remember if Marvel was out, but everyone's like, oh yeah, blah, 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 Captain Marvel's with the Kree. And I remember I was so confused. I was like, the bad blue people from Agents?
Yeah. So we'll get into that. I remember leading up to Captain Marvel, I was like, wait, aren't the Kree bad? Like, I was really, really confused. And I think that was part of what Captain Marvel was trying to do, like... The Kree have never been the good guys in the comics, so that's why I think everyone was like, what's happening?
Okay, cool. Glad I wasn't the only one confused. But yeah, this season... this season was a lot. And then the other one that I liked, I wish she talked more, Cassius's, like, head honcho, like, right-hand
woman.
Person. Yeah. Her name was Sonara, and she was also really interesting. I wish she talked more.
Well, but her whole thing was that she was, like, silent and deadly.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, no, she was a badass. I respected her a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh wait, but like, so since we're, can we talk about like Fitz's whole arrival? Like, that was so awesome. You remember that?
I remember his reveal when they find out he's in their, when he got to their timeline. Because his whole thing was he was on Earth, setting it up, doing all this, so that whenever he can trace the exact point in time that he need, that he will meet up with the team, all of this will be set up in the past, kind of a thing.
Well, so what happened with him, like, he has the whole, his whole episode, he got arrested, because he was the only one left behind, so he got arrested, and everyone was, like, trying to interrogate him and be like, where are they, blah, 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 which is a great episode, and brings back one of our old-time favorites, Hunter!
I was so happy to see him, and I love how they communicated through soccer.
Like a soccer magazine.
Like missives.
Actually, it's a football magazine.
Football.
Do you know how often I say football instead of soccer because these kids learn British English? So I'll be like, football. Mm. And a little part of me on the inside is like, it's soccer. It's soccer. Anyway. Yeah, like, I thought that was so great that he had all of, like, so he still gets arrested, but he's also convincing them that, like, of the people to find them, he's the only one to help them find them. Like, like, he doesn't know where they are, but he can find them because he's, like, on the team. Right. And so he has a condition, and the condition is to let him send letters to a, like, fan club magazine for a soccer team. And that's how Hunter finds him. Because he was sending out secret coded messages the entire time.
It's so great.
It was incredible. I also like
Never forget Hunter's also smart.
Yeah.
And also a spy. Like, he's been in the life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was just a spy for hire. Like.
Right? Yeah.
Whatever. So that was a really great episode. And eventually, like, he finds the Watcher dude. And then they get, he gets put into, like, a cryo chamber into the future. But in the, when he gets revealed, it's like Daisy got trapped, she got tagged, and she's being sold to the highest bidder. Because it's like, she's this is the Quake. She destroyed the Earth. Who wants her? And then all of a sudden, this like person, like people are bidding, and all of a sudden he like drops his hood and he's like, I want her. And I'm like, like when that happens... I know that I wasn't in, like, a theater full of people, but if I was, everyone would have just, like, simultaneously gasped and cheered, you know? Like, that's the kind of moment that was.
There's a very high chance I might have cried.
Well, because at that point, I feel like it was, like, episode 6 or something like that, and so it's, like, it was a while until we saw him, and then we found
and
him.
And this is also, right? This was also the episodes after the season where him and Gemma finally got married.
Oh, yes.
And then he wasn't there. So, like, we were missing part of the team. We were missing Fitz. And then he showed up like a bamf. And we're like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And this entire time, Gemma's been, like, a deaf slave.
Yeah. So, she saved someone. Because she's a doctor.
This, again, is still the first half of the season.
Yeah. So, she saved one of... So, the humans are basically... playthings of the Kree, and so they the Kree do these horrible games, and so Gemma, being a good person and the doctor that she is, saved a person, and as punishment Cassius kidnapped her, and what he does to all of his slaves is he puts some alien thing in their head where they're deaf only to his voice, and then made her one of his like silent
I mean they're deaf to everything except his voice.
Yes, that's what I meant.
So it was like deaf to only his voice. That sounds great. That means they can't hear him, but everything else.
So yeah, she's, her and Daisy are trying to like help each other out. Oh, because there's a boy. There's an inhuman boy who can read minds and project thoughts. So that's the only way they're able to kind of communicate.
Oh, and he's helping them?
He's helping them because Daisy's doing her, like, don't you believe in hope thing, and it got to him. And, like, you gotta fight. And so he wants to help this squad out. Where was I going with that? Oh, yeah, so Gemma, everyone is in the room. Gemma, Fitz, Daisy. The others are all downstairs doing.
But she doesn't
surviving.
See him, right?
She doesn't see him because I can't imagine he would want the slaves in the room for something like that, you know? I feel like that's a thing where Cassius would send them away.
That would be a thing that he would want the slaves in the room for because they can, like, bring stuff around to them.
Where was she?
Well, maybe it happened before that. Like, he showed up and saw her and then went up to her and was like, no, don't turn around. But she couldn't hear him.
No, that scene, I was weeping. Okay, yes, I was crying at this point. I was weeping because it was after his reveal.
I know that I'm laughing, but it is a little funny. Like, it's like a sad scene, but it is a little funny mm-hmm. that he goes up to her and is like, finally sees her again, and is talking to her and is like doing this whole heartfelt like thing. He even proposes, and she didn't hear a goddamn thing.
Oh my god, wait. You're right. This was when he proposes. Wait, they don't get married. They didn't get married last season. They get married this season. Oh, I have to do some editing.
Oh my god, that's what you meant?
I thought they got married last season.
I thought when you said that you meant like, oh, they're gonna get married. Like, that's happening.
Nope. We'll figure this out.
Okay. Oh well.
This episode's all over the place anyways. I'll figure it out.
It's okay. Also, yeah. I think I'm gonna edit this one, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If you really want me to edit that out, like, I can, but we can also just leave that in, because we did already admit that we haven't rewatched this season, yeah. So...
But I remember the speech. I was definitely weeping, because he was pouring his heart out. He was saying so, like, everything... And how he felt about her. He's like, I'll follow you across galaxies and blah, 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 blah. And she can't hear any of it.
Yeah.
And you think, it's awful because he thinks she's being, like, the perfect spy of, like, stone cold, not acknowledging, doing her job. But it's also, like, no one heard that. Like, Daisy wasn't even there to be like, wait, Gemma, this is what he said, or anything like mm-hmm. that. He was just... That was all on his own.
I do love that later in the season when they're pulling off a rescue, she literally turns around and is like, marry me, Fitz. And he's like, I asked you first. I asked you before. You just couldn't hear me.
That's why they're the perfect couple.
Yeah. Again, first half of the season. This is just the first half of the season.
This is just the first. Space is the first half of the season. Can you just let that settle for a second?
There's also, like,
we're not
so
even
much
to the Earth stuff.
There's so much that happens in the second half of the season, but also, like, not a lot. And so, like, I don't even remember. I know that they end up in this, like, nuclear bunker.
Yeah.
From, like, the Cold War, and that there's this, like, Jarvis-type hologram, except it's who plays Lemony Snicket in A Series of Unfortunate Events. It's that guy.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. He's the one who's, like the hologram.
Yeah.
And, because he does, like, a lot of random stuff like that. Patrick Warburton.
Oh.
That's his name.
Nice.
He does a lot of random stuff like that. He's always, like, I don't know. He's also, like, a crazy voice actor.
Huh.
But anyway, they end up in this Cold War bunker. They're hiding out from the people. And then there's, like, this whole... like, anachronism thing where there's, like, a rip in reality that they have to fix, and it's, like, mm-hmm. the only way to fix it is if Daisy can quake it, and then Daisy couldn't quake it because she had the thing in, and then Fitz is having trouble, like, he's having, like, a mind meld thing happening to him. It's almost like he has DID.
Yeah, no, I loved Fitz this whole season because, yeah, he had such a heartbreaking arc. Man, we're really going all over the place. So are we officially on the Earth part now?
I have no idea. Let's just keep going.
Okay. Because what happened is... They try and tie in some Earth stuff. So all we know is that, like, Hydra... There's some, like, DCOM assassin girl who's going after Quake. The blonde one...
Oh, yeah, I was like, what do you mean, DCOM assassin girl? Yeah, she's from Disney, yes.
She's from Disney Channel. So she's this DCOM assassin, and she's, like, obsessed with Quake, and you find out she's, like, a Hydra child. Like, her mom is high up in Hydra. She was born for Hydra. That's so, like, that's a thing. And then
sexist. She was literally born for Hydra because her mother was used as a what is the word I'm looking for? Breeder.
Truly. Yeah.
Used as a breeder.
Yeah. So that was messed up. And anyway, Coulson, once they're back on Earth, Coulson has to find out he has to work with Hydra, or at least with this woman, to, like, get to, I think, fix this base, because Hydra has resources and they have to fix the time rift, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and they brought back Whitehall. It's not important.
Yeah, that was
in the flashbacks,
weird.
In the flashbacks, not,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, yeah. He's not back.
No, because he died.
Yeah. So there was so much, a lot of weird stuff in this one, but the Earth thing, all that you have to really remember is, what's his name? He's a good guy who loses it. Talbot. Talbot gets his hands on some superpowers, goes off the deep end.
Well, because he also got shot in the head. Well, he gets shot
that's
in the
why.
Head.
And then he's still suffering trauma.
No, he gets, like, shot in the head.
Mental trauma, yeah.
He gets shot in the head, and then Hydra gets him, and then brainwashes him.
Right.
So they program him with the, like, catchphrases. And that programming is, like, dormant, clearly. And then he Coulson finds him and brings mm-hmm. him back. And also, while Talbot was in Hydra, I remember this, because this was actually a little heartbreaking, where he spends the entire time going, like, Coulson will find me, Coulson will find me, Coulson will mm-hmm. find me. And obviously he couldn't, because he was in the freaking future.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, so, like, comes back, whatever. And Coulson's just, like, you know, around that facility, finds Talbot, gets Talbot, takes him out of Talbot, takes him out of Talbot, takes him out of Hydra. And then they have his wife call, like, they, or Talbot's begging to call his wife. And so they let him.
Yeah.
But there's a Hydra mm-hmm. agent at the house, and the wife gives him the, like, the trigger words.
Mm-hmm.
And then that triggers him to attack Coulson and the team.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he is dealing with that. Like, they're dealing with the fact that he's got Hydra conditioning in him now.
Right. That makes sense. Of course, he wouldn't just turn. Yeah. But I remember I was sad to see the season two big bad end up being Talbot, because, like,
you mean
he was a good
two?
Guy. Like, he had his issues, but overall, you knew which side of the team is on. Then we lost him.
Well, because, like, what they did is they created some weird serum and then used the Captain America chamber to mm-hmm. give him the serum, because the serum was supposed to go to the little blonde one who cut off Yo-Yo's arms.
Right.
Yeah. So it was supposed to go to her. Like, that's what she was born for. But everyone was like, no, we can't give it to her. I think they gave it to her and then she died or something like that. And then they gave it to Talbot because they were like, oh, Talbot's going to fight the big bad that's coming. And then he kind of went mm-hmm. stir crazy, because on top of the brain damage, on top of the conditioning, he got infused with this crazy power that also messed with his mind, because mm-hmm. the power, it came from, like, a monolith type thing, but also but part of why he was going crazy was that the guy that could, like, touch metals.
Yeah, Creel.
Creel comes back this season, but because he touched the thing that Talbot was...
Gravitonium.
Gravitonium, yes!
He was messing with gravitonium. That was the catalyst for most of this.
Yes, that's what it was called. I think, like, Creel touched the gravitonium, and then, like, Creel absorbed the thoughts of all of those people, and then, like, the gravitonium absorbed Creel or something, and then mm-hmm. All of those people's thoughts were in Talbot's head. So that's what was messing mm-hmm. with him as well. Mm-hmm. So he kind of goes mm-hmm. a little crazy. It's kind of the epitome of the Joker quote, like, you either die a hero or live long enough to become the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of that, but also there's a lot of other factors happening.
there's so much happening because I'm reading the synopsis now. They have to. Meanwhile, the team finally discovers Coulson is dying.
Oh, right.
Like, yes. throwback to Ghost Rider season when he accepts the Ghost Rider
was
power.
Was that not just last season? That was just last season. That's how he defeated Ada.
Yeah. It was one season ago, but it just felt like forever ago. So many arcs.
I know.
But whenever he accepted it, part of his deal and or the sheer amount of power and fire, it burned off whatever Tahiti Project did to him. So now he's just good old-fashioned dying. His body is giving up on him because whatever the Tahiti Project had in him, alien blood, isn't working anymore. So everyone's like, Coulson, you're going to live. We're going to fight. We're going to figure this out. And Coulson's like, let me go.
And Yo-Yo had said in the future, let him die. That's how all of the things start happening. Like, that's how it all goes bad.
Right, because you
refuse to let go of Coulson, so everything goes bad because, like, that was your main priority.
Right. And the team is like, no, we're not going to listen to it. And then they finally, like, oh, you're right. Because even Coulson's like, I'm not. Don't save me at the stake of the world.
Yeah.
And so, like, Fitzsimmons put together an anecdote, which, according to Wikipedia, I'm staring at, it's the centipede serum using DNA from Daisy's mother's remains. Like, they go dig her up to get the DNA to make centipede serum. Yeah. So that centipede serum was supposed to be for Coulson. And then they use it instead to stop Talbot, which is why I think that's what
Yo-Yo was probably talking about. Yeah, it culminates in this whole thing where Daisy has to go fight Talbot, and they figure out that the reason that the Earth gets destroyed is because, like, it's like during that fight that the Earth gets destroyed because they end up going really high up and then, like, just crashing down into the Earth, and the force of the two of them fighting and crashing destroys the Earth.
It's like another meteor. Yeah. Honestly, I think it also takes place, part of it started in Southern California, or at some point Daisy was doing some stuff in Southern California, and this is a conversation me and my roommates have had multiple times, is the fault line under LA and how that's ready to burst, and how once that goes off, it's gonna trigger, like, North America is just gonna be gone. And as soon as Daisy started like quaking LA, I was just like, oh my god, it's happening. Yeah. This is how it's gonna go. And then they ended up moving the fight to Chicago. But anyways, fun fact, SoCal is not a safe place to live. In real life.
We should tell Elise that.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh. There's also a whole through line happening in the second half of the season, and this is the thing I want to talk about the most, because these people frustrate me to no end in this part. So when they get back, the whole team is determined to prevent the future that they just came back from.
Right.
But they, like, refuse to. Some of them want to do it logically, and some of them do not. And the ones who do not are Gemma, Fitz, and Yo-Yo. And I just remembered how Gemma got Fitz to be on board with this whole crazy nonsense.
Yeah, Fitz is originally
not for it. She almost poisoned herself.
It was so bad. You're watching this and you're just like, you're the smart one. Gemma, what are you doing?
Basically, they're all there. So it's Fitz and not Fitz. It's Gemma and Yo-Yo who are like, wait, we clearly survive, so we're the only ones we know can't die. So
yeah, they're on the, like, fixed timeline theory of time travel.
Yeah.
If they saw each other in the future, or AKA if Deke exists, they're just hurtling toward that point in time. There is no variation. That's what they're operating on.
So they know that they are not going to die no matter what they do, because they know that they survive for X reasons that you just explained. Mm-hmm. And Fitz is like, you're absolutely crazy. That's not how this works. Like, danger is danger, and you hurtling into danger will, like, still brings its risks. Like, you can't think you're invincible. And the way that Gemma convinces him still baffles me. She's got, like, a cup of water, or a beaker of water in one hand, and a beaker of, like, this clear acid that is odorless, and like she cannot tell the difference between the two, and she basically just like plays that stupid game where they put the pebble under the cups. Yeah. She plays that game with it and just swaps it all around, and then basically says to Fitz, "I'm gonna drink one of these, and I'm not gonna die, because I know whichever one I pick is gonna be the water, because I cannot die."
Right. Right.
And then she drinks it. She drinks it. And it's
she drinks it.
It's the water, and then Fitz is like, "Oh, you got me on board by putting water in both of them, right?" And then she pours out the other one, and it's actually acid.
Yeah.
It, like, burns a hole in the ground.
She was 110% ready to do that.
And that's what brings Fitz on
board. That was awful. Through coercion. There's a whole thing, because Fitz was also in lockup at that point. There was a whole thing. Fitz
is his own little arc. They locked him. Oh, I thought that she did that. Because...
the team locks him up because he has a mental split, and he thinks, because one of the other like weird space things is like horrible nightmares from the past are coming through this split in reality. They're not real, blah, blah, blah. So then Dark Fitz comes through, the doctor comes through, and he's stalking everybody, and everyone's like, "Oh, don't, he's dangerous, but he's not real," so on and so forth. And then the doctor kidnaps Daisy. And then plot twist, it's Fitz experiencing a mental break.
Yeah. But
he has to do it because he takes the inhibitor out of Daisy, because everyone knows that Daisy's power is the only thing that will save them. But Daisy's like, "No, I need this inhibitor."
And well, because there's a gravitonium thing happening. The world. That they need her to quake to get rid of. Yeah.
Yeah, and she won't do it. Because she doesn't want to break the world, so on and so forth. So Fitz has this mental break, and he takes it out of her, so her powers are back. She's obviously very mad at him, but he's back to normal after this point, and then they put him in lockup because they're like, "Fitz, we don't know if Dark Fitz is coming back, blah, blah, blah." And then he says the, like, at some point he says the line, which is like, "Look, I'm sorry this happened, but I would do it again." And I was just like, oh...
Well, yeah, that's what I meant
Fitz's
before.
Fitz's whole arc broke my heart this season.
Yeah, that's what I meant before when I said he had, like, a DID moment where, like, he...
Yeah.
...dissociated into the doctor. And spoiler alert, that's only on my mind because of a character from Iron Fist Season 2 that I just finished binging. DID, I mean. Like, there's a character with DID in the new season, or in the second season, because it's not new anymore. But yeah, he has that moment, and then like that whole, and the thing, the other reason why Daisy didn't want to go through with it is because they didn't know enough about the tech, and it was like attached to her spine or something like that. So
her nervous system, it was high risk.
It was really high risk, so she didn't want to like do it, and it was so, anyway.
It was awful to watch.
Yeah.
That whole
scene.
She's
like begging and pleading and saying like, "Please don't do this, please don't do this, please don't do this."
Yeah. And she even says like, "Fitz, I'll never forgive you," and he says something on the lines of like, "I'm just gonna have to live with that."
Yeah.
Or like, "I know."
Yeah.
And it's awful. But he does it.
Yeah. But back to the thing that annoys me the most is that you cannot, back to like Yo-Yo, Gemma, and Fitz on their stupid mission. You cannot be actively trying to change a future while still believing that you cannot die in the future that is known.
Right, and I think Mac was the one who kept pointing that out to Yo-Yo, because Yo-Yo was going on this death wish bender, thinking she's invincible, and Max is like, "No, we're not getting to that future anymore, so you have to take care of yourself in this present."
Yeah, that's like, and she's like, "But how do we know that, like, not doing what we're trying to do is gonna, like, keep the future?" And it's like, yeah, that's the point. You don't know if what you're doing is inevitable or not. Like, that's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. That's determinism. But who knows? Like, maybe what you're doing right now is actually going to change it. Like, knowledge of the future changes the future. Like, that's the whole theory of time travel as well. Like, you both watch movies. Weren't you the ones who were constantly talking about watching movies and robot movies? Think about, do not watch time travel movies. That's the whole thing. Knowledge of the future affects your future. Every single time travel movie where someone goes to the past has always said, "I can't tell you too much about the future or else it'll change it, and I don't want to change it." Mm-hmm. So that you know about it means you're going to change it. So it changed. So frustrating that they're running on this idea that they're not going to die because they saw their future, when because they're changing the future means that they probably will die.
Yeah.
Or not probably, everything but like maybe them. They will die. Like the probability of them dying is no longer zero. It can be like 50 now because or 80 because mm-hmm. you do dangerous work. Also,
right.
If they change the future, and at the end of this movie, they do successfully change the future, why is Deke still there?
Did you see Deke? I thought he wandered off because he knew he was gonna fade, so he wanted to, like, go be in a park. He wanted to be in real nature. I thought he just walked away. Did you see him again?
No, I think we see him again.
Ugh.
Because that. they're doing this whole thing, and my whole thing is that, like, Gemma's like, oh, he's our grandson, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you do realize that the things that you're doing are actively preventing your grandson from being born, because if you guys still
right.
have a child, it's probably not going to be the daughter that you have in that future, because the variables of you mm-hmm. and Fitz having that same situation in the exact same moment happening, in which you both have the correct egg and sperm coming together, because there are literally... billions of possibilities of children with different, because like the DNA in you, there are just like billions of different mm-hmm. possibilities of having a child. Like, it's a miracle that any of us are the way that we are, because it's really just random chance between the genetics of your mother and father.
Right. Yeah. So even if, there's no way that they would have Deke specifically.
Yeah. Well, because it's not even guaranteed now that they were going to have the daughter that they were going to have.
Right,
because
or that she would meet Deke's father in that under those original
because so, the way that
I'm mad. I didn't realize he came back.
Yeah. Well, because I'm sure mad. It was announced before the end of this season that he was staying on.
Why? He didn't. His character didn't even add that much.
Do you know that I have no idea? I have no idea. All I do know is that it was very annoying. I do not like Deke. No one liked Deke. I don't know how you can make a character who's related to Gemma and Fitz and make them awful.
Right. He was kind of the butt of the joke in that way, of just like the grandson of this amazing couple is Deke. Anyways, so I'll talk about that towards the end of the episode, but I don't know, we're getting into like the last bits here, and we've been scattered all over the place because the season threw so much at you, really? But you went with it. And then we haven't even gotten to, like, Fitz dies.
Oh, my God, yeah, Fitz dies in that last episode. The end of this
arc? Yeah, the end of his amazing arc, and, like, he's one of the best actors on this cast. The whole cast is great, but him specifically, so good. So Chicago is crumbling around them because Daisy and Talbot are going at it, superhero, like, fighting. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to, you know, save civilians, and Mac... May and Fitz are in a building to get to the Zephyr. I think they're trying to get to a plane. Anyways, Fitz gets crushed or impaled by falling debris, and Mac and May stay with him as he dies, and he just
dies.
Y'all, he dies.
I just started crying because they got married. Fitzsimmons finally got married.
They finally got married. They thought they saw a future. Together, they saw a future in Deke, you know, and it was just like, this couple has been through so much, and I was weeping during the scene, and I was also, mm-hmm. I was so mad, it made sense, but I was so mad, Gemma wasn't there.
Yeah.
I was like, no, they're always together until space and time tear them apart all the time, and she wasn't there for his last moments, and then also, Coulson dies.
Well, not in this season. He's gone off to death in
because his life is ending. So the team is going to continue on. Friggin' Daisy is the leader. And so as the team flies away with Coulson on the beach, May stays with Coulson to enjoy his final days.
Don't they like actually go to Tahiti?
Yeah, they finally really go to Tahiti. It's a beautiful place. And,
Yeah.
And like, so that was cute. I was glad Coulson and May got to have some happiness, but that's two big deaths this season. And we're going to get into it because season 6 was like, Coulson's still around, and I saw some, I guess I'm getting into now. I am super mad that Agents got renewed for season 6, and then I just found out it got renewed for season 7. I think season 5 should have been it.
Yes, but can we go back to Fitz dying for a second? Because Gemma does go on, like, a crazy town thing, but also completely makes sense. Gemma finds out that Fitz dies and then goes, but he's not dead.
Because, right, she's still in time warp brain.
Because there is a current version of Fitz hurtling in space. The one who found them is hurtling into space as we speak, so they can find him out in outer space somewhere, because he's still alive in that cryo chamber. But at that point, now he's no longer the Fitz that she marries.
No.
Well,
and also, I think what makes me also mad is at some point while she's explaining this theory, because the way this whole scene opens up is they're doing a final toast as a team, and everyone's sad, and everyone's like, everyone knows this is a memorial, and everyone assumes it's for Fitz. It's for Coulson, blah, 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 blah. And you find out why it's not for Fitz is because Gemma's explaining this theory. And I think at some point she says the words multiverse. And that's when I, like, threw up my hands at this point at the TV show, because I was like, you agents cannot be dealing with multiverses. No, 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 no.
Well, I don't think they're trying to go into a multiverse. I think she's just saying, like,
of the timelines,
with every, they're pulling him out of every that change one. That they're making, they're creating a multiverse.
Yeah.
So
but it was just
theoretically theoretically there's still a timeline / multiverse in which the world did in fact get destroyed. Maybe that's why Deke is still around, because he's from that multiverse. So he doesn't disappear.
Now he's a multiverse traveler. Yeah.
So, like, that, like, the future that they came back from still exists in the multiverse, and so the Fitz that's in their universe right now hurtling off into space to find them does not need to do that anymore.
That would make sense. At least that's the theory Gemma is running on. But overall, like, I love Fitz, and I thought this was a very good season for him, so just let him go.
I know.
I don't want him to die, but I don't want him to come back like that.
I know.
So, honestly, as soon as we're done recording, I want to start the next season, because I have so many questions, and I am so mad. I'm genuinely so mad Agents is continuing. Season 5 was one of their best, and they should have called it at the end of the day.
I mean, I think they left it too open to call it. I'm not mad that season 6 is happening, and I'm a little curious about season 7. I'm excited to get to our conversations about season 6 because of how it relates to Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah. They tried, at the very tail end, they tried to throw in one single sentence about, like, New York. Something was happening in New York. Oh, I think it was the start of the Infinity War invasion, because they were talking about the news and how being like, Talbot's doing this. Talbot is going to go help. He's like, I have to go to New York. So they throw in one single sentence. So I think this show ends right May 18th, right when Infinity War is technically just starting. So season 6 is picking up after
Infinity
the snap.
So Infinity War also got pushed up a couple of weeks, right? Like, it was supposed
to... Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that Infinity War was supposed to come out after this season had ended. And then all of a sudden, they pushed it up. Like, decided to release it.
Right. No, I think I remember that. RDJ tweeted about it.
Yeah.
He was one of the first to lead the surprise drop. You're right.
Yeah, so they decided that, like, they were going to release it a few weeks early, which is why Agents had to scramble to put something in, because they didn't think they would have to deal with it.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and that it was the whole, like, Talbot, like, literally was like, I have to go help. Like, I'm the key to saving the world from this new threat.
Right, right.
But then that it makes was sense. Like, oh, no, okay. He's the threat. And then it's like, well, is he the threat? Mm-hmm. Or is Thanos the threat? Or are you just trying to avoid the fact that, like, you all want to deal with Talbot as the threat right now instead of Thanos as the threat, because you do refuse to interact the two universes, because the Avengers still don't even know that Coulson is alive, except now he's dead anyway.
Which, again, I just, there's no way, there is zero way Cap, Nat, and Tony don't know what the agents are doing. Exactly, and yeah. Fury. They're doing too much.
Well,
they're
Fury
making
has always
way
known.
Too much
Fury
noise.
Fury literally gave the
oh,
mantle.
Duh, my bad.
Fury was in season
totally forgot
one.
About that. Well, I mean, I was thinking past season one. Like, the agents have made way too much noise for the core information brain people of the Avengers team to not be like,
and S.H.I.E.L.D.
oh,
has,
hey,
like, come back and gone away and all of this whole thing. So it's like, how has...
They've led so many press conferences. Like, Talbot and the government have led so many press conferences about, like, we're chasing S.H.I.E.L.D. Like...
Yeah.
Anyways.
That's
I feel for the
for another
I
day.
Feel for the... Yeah, I feel for the agents writers because they really have they come out with a great product and they have to really deal with some bull on the side.
I think at the end
as they
of
try
the
and
day,
stay in this franchise.
At the end of the day, so. I just have to think of it as separate from the rest of it. You know?
You really do, yeah.
Like it's technically part of the universe, which is why we're talking about it in the podcast. But
mm-hmm.
You kind of have to look at it as separate from the universe because somewhere along the lines you realized that the MCU did not care about creating this truly connected world through film and television.
Yeah.
They only care about their movies, which I understand, and they're a whole feat mm-hmm. upon themselves, like to try and connect together. But they mm-hmm. do it in such a way that when they create these television shows that are just as compelling and just as interesting, it's impossible for them to even fit into the whole situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It really is. So, mad props to the Agents franchise.
Yeah.
Still thought it should have ended at season 5, but I'll watch the season 6 as soon as we hop off this call, and I'll let you know if my opinion changes.
I know. Yeah, that's gotta happen soon. I have to watch season mm-hmm. 6.
Yeah, especially because I watch it on Hulu, and Hulu does the, like, 5-day expiration thing, so I have to make sure I get season 1, or the episode,
oh,
first
yeah.
2 episodes in fast.
Yeah, yeah,
it's been
yeah.
a while.
I forgot about that. Honestly, I don't even know when I'm going to get around to watching it. I'll probably get around to watching it in, like, a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm,
I have...
Mm-hmm.
I still need to watch The Punisher. I did just binge Luke Cage season 2 and Iron Fist season 2.
I'm almost done with Luke Cage. I think I'm like 2 or 3 episodes out from the end.
You were ahead
then,
of me at one point, and then I was like, nope. And then I kept going, and I finished.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. But now we're no longer talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents.
Also, can we like quick shout out to the best in the world, Ming-Na Wen, because she's getting an award from Disney for being amazing.
She... Okay, the I remember the other honorees,
I think
it's but
it's
RDJ. Her and RDJ right
yeah.
now. Is it just those 2? I thought there was a 3rd.
I have no idea, and it doesn't matter because
okay.
I only
Anyways.
Care about her and RDJ.
Truly, I was so happy when I saw these 2. And it makes sense. She should have gotten this back in 1998 when she saved China, but whatever. She still carried the mantle as friggin' Melinda May, so, like, you're welcome, Disney. Anyways.
Not to be, like, that person, but... She kind of just was the voice actress for Mulan, you know?
But, I mean, that also makes the character, you know?
Yeah, I know. No. I mean, like, not... I really do respect voice actors. Like, I'm not trying to, like, pull anything against them. I'm just saying that she was just the voice, and Lea Salonga was her singing voice.
Oh.
Like, there was 2 people there.
That's true. But... Anyways.
And the reason why she's getting it now is because of Mulan and her work on Agents.
Yeah. Anyways. I love Melinda May. She is one of my favorite characters. But at the end of the Disney day, one of those characters is going to endure more than the others. And she should have been honored back in the, like, Mulan came out in 98. She should have been honored back in the early 2000s. I rest my case. What's important now is that she's getting honored with RDJ.
Yeah. I really am. I'm really happy that they're both getting it. And also, like...
Mm-hmm.
Also, I know this is still not Agents, but I might just cut this later because it's really not part of the episode. But apparently there's like some choice award happening, like a teen choice or some sort of choice, people's choice, some sort of choice award, where thing is like heroes, like the best hero of the year. And and it was like, oh, like Iron Man is gonna beat like Captain Marvel, or like I don't remember who the other person was because I didn't care so much. It's like some rando, I don't know. And I was, oh, it was Arya Stark.
Oh,
which is not a rando. She did, spoiler alert, kill the Night King. So
yeah, she's important.
So yeah, love her. But anyway, when I saw that, I was like, I know that this headline is trying to make people angry, to be like, oh, why is the man getting the award? But at the same time, yes, Maisie Williams has been playing Arya nearly as long as RDJ has been playing Iron Man.
Really?
Yeah, the series came out in, like, 2009.
I mean, I knew it came out
or something.
Yeah, I knew it came out a long ago. I didn't realize she's been in it for just as long.
No, she's an original, like, season one character.
Oh, man.
She's been in that show since 2010, I think, actually, is when they started filming.
Right.
So she's been in it as long as everyone else, because she's,
that's
like,
her whole childhood.
She's a Stark. Like, she's a Stark, and that's a big family. But again, like, I know that headline was, like, trying to be like, oh, like, this man is going to win over the women, and, like, try to get, like, people to get angry about that. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm sorry. Captain Marvel is a new player to the MCU, and I love her with all of my heart. And when we get to that episode of our podcast, I'm going to get really, really psyched for her. But Robert Downey Jr. has been carrying the MCU on his back since 2008. He deserves the award.
He has led this franchise that has changed pop culture. Now, obviously it's Captain Marvel's turn. But yeah, she's new to the game of 2019. I almost said 2018. Of 2019. It's RDJ. It's Iron Man.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. That got off kilter. But hey, it was still Marvel news. We are talking about Luke Cage next week. Right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we are.
I was like, am I wrong? No, we're talking, yeah, yes.
Any last thoughts on Agents? I feel like we didn't do it justice for what a strong season it was, but it was truly so much. Say that every Agents episode, but...
Well, because I think, again, I think I say this every episode as well, that we do Agents, is like, again, this is a weekly 22-episode season. This is not the same as, like, The Defenders. Or even, I haven't watched Cloak and Dagger yet, but not even, like, Cloak and Dagger, because that's a shorter season. Like, all of these other television shows that Marvel does are short and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not a weekly hour-long... 45 minute whatever, like, they have more to do because they have more time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they get to think about these characters over the course of a year. Like, they live with the characters over a year and watch them grow together. I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is one of the few shows on television that managed to do the convoluted melodramatic craziness while still pulling it together and having it make sense while adding in some science mumbo jumbo that sounds okay to the layman.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, that's what it's capable of doing. And as much as I love The Defenders, they're like 13 episodes and it's a succinct like story with one bad guy. They get to get, like, deeper into character in a way that Agents definitely doesn't. But they don't have to think about weekly viewership in the same way that Agents does. So they always have to be thinking of something to do each episode. It is definitely a villain of the week kind of show.
Yeah, for sure.
with like a through line for the whole plot, but it is like there's a problem every week in every episode. It's not like the problems of last episode into this next episode that lead into the next episode. Like, that's happening, but that's usually like the B plot.
Right. Because, yeah, at the end of the day, no matter what craziness they go through, it holds up. There's a through line, start to finish.
And that is why Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is an amazing show, and people should watch it. Mm-hmm.
Truly, yeah. You have 7 seasons now of content to look forward to. Well, you will have end up sent. By the end, who knows? By the end of it, there'll be 7 seasons.
By the time this episode comes out, you'll have, like, 5 seasons and a couple episodes of season 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that's it I have to say on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Same, yeah.
Also, the Jessica Jones trailer came out today.
I need to see that.
It's like 20 seconds. It's like a teaser trailer. But that came out today as the day that we're recording it. So that's fun.
Huh.
But we are talking about... Next week, we're talking about her comic book husband, Luke Cage.
Yeah, which... I'm enjoying the second season. I'm excited to talk about it. It's fun.
I'm excited to talk about it too, but I'm not like crazy about it. So teaser for that episode, when that comes out next week. Sabrina's not so excited about that season. I don't care for it that much.
Fascinating. So I guess, are we back to a regular schedule? A regular release schedule?
Yes. I would hope so.
Nice. Yeah, I hope so.
Let's be real. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while. But you know what? You know what, guys? We'll be with you till the end of the line. You're allowed to laugh because that was kind of a perfect segue.
That was smooth. That was butter smooth.
Yeah! I'm keeping this whole part in.
Good. I wouldn't have asked for anything less.
You can find me on Twitter at TheSabrinaPet. You can find Lily at Lily_Rugo. Check out the podcast at EM Fangirls. Also, check out our website, EarthsMightiestFangirls.com. We've recently moved from Squarespace to Simplecast. Also, guess what, guys? You can listen to us on Spotify.
Props to Sabrina. We're now on the major platforms. Mostly, I'm really excited about Spotify.
iTunes, we're on Spotify. Stitcher, and Spotify.
Yes.
So follow us on there, leave a comment on iTunes. I don't know what you do on Stitcher, but do that thing you do on Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Just check us out. We're everywhere now.
We are. We're now actively using the Twitter.
We're
tweeting.
What is the
Twitter? We're using the Twitter.
Do we Twitch? Do we Twitch or do we tweet or do we say a thing that sounds like a bad word? Who should we thank?
Thank you.
Lily?
Wow, I'm out of it. Anyways, thank you to Dexter Britton for letting us use their song Wonderland, and thanks to us for editing and producing internationally.
Wow, I haven't done the end of